Good afternoon. It's 38 cloudy degrees in Richland Center at 12:08. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Wisconsin Department of Justice Division of Criminal Investigation is conducting an officer-involved death investigation in the town of Blue Mounds that occurred last evening. At approximately 6:20, a Wisconsin State Patrol trooper attempted to initiate a traffic stop on U.S. Highway 18-151 near mile marker 52 in Iowa County. The subject failed to stop, prompting a pursuit. A deputy with the Iowa County Sheriff's Office joined the pursuit shortly after it began. The pursuit ended when the subject crashed near mile marker 65 in the town of Blue Mounds. EMS responded and the subject was pronounced dead at the scene. No members of law enforcement or other members of the public were injured during this incident. DCI is leading this investigation and is assisted by a DCI crime response specialist, the Dane County Sheriff's Office, and the Mount Horeb Police Department. All involved law enforcement are fully cooperating with DCI during this investigation. DCI is continuing to review evidence and determine the facts of this incident and will turn over the investigative reports to the Dane County District Attorney's Office when the investigation concludes. While the nation seems to be in chaos, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin took the time to meet with Wisconsin voters and answer questions. Civic Media's Melissa Kay has the story.
Senator Tammy Baldwin held a virtual town hall meeting on Thursday to answer questions from concerned constituents in central Wisconsin. The meeting was moderated by Stevens Point Mayor Mike Wiesa. The first question outlined how chaotic things seem in Washington, D.C., and asked how to help calm the uncertainty people are living with every day.
It does feel a lot like chaos here.
Senator Baldwin said announcements are coming so fast and furious that it's difficult for hardworking citizens to keep up.
I will tell you that some of the chaos that we're experiencing is very purposeful.
A top Trump advisor said their strategy in the first days and weeks was to flood the zone. Many of the things proposed have resulted in lawsuits, making it even harder to understand what's going on.
I think it's important to remember in all of this that we do have power. Everyone here has power, and your voice matters.
Baldwin said she has been spending time on the Senate floor reading letters from concerned constituents, and those voices and stories do make a difference.
Again, I'm here to fight for you, but I'm also here to fight with you.
She said through this chaotic and confusing time that we have real power and encouraged Wisconsinites to keep talking to their representatives. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, ranking member of the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Labor, Health and Human Services, Education and Related Agencies, slammed the Trump administration for stopping $65 million in funding for Alzheimer's disease research at institutions across the country. 14 of the 35 Alzheimer's disease research centers have had their funding halted by the National Institutes of Health because the Trump administration continues to cancel NIH Advisory Council meetings, which are the final required step in the grant approval process. The Trump administration has prohibited NIH from announcing more than 185 study section and advisory council meetings on the Federal Register, forcing the cancellation of NIH's National Institute on Aging January Advisory Council meeting, where renewal applications for the 14 ADRCs were to be reviewed. As a result, those 14 ADRCs will begin to run out of funding starting today, and all of them will run out of funding by April 30th. President Trump has single-handedly stopped Alzheimer's disease research in its tracks. Let that sink in, said Senator Baldwin. She went on to say, the millions upon millions of families with a loved one with Alzheimer's disease or related dementias are relying on this research for hope, but Donald Trump and Elon Musk are refusing to fund this research because they are all in, all out quest for every dollar they can find for their billionaire tax break. This is Alzheimer's disease research, including at the University of Wisconsin, that is discovering ways to prevent these diseases, detect them earlier, develop new treatments, and ultimately find cures. But Donald Trump is throwing that by the wayside so he can give handouts to his wealthy friends. Some Western Wisconsin residents are upset after Congressman Derek Van Orden's staff failed to show up to a scheduled event in Eau Claire and abruptly changed locations for a lacrosse event late last week. Van Orden blamed what he called agitator groups for the disruptions to his office's schedule. In La Crosse, Van Orden was set to meet with the North La Crosse Business Association at the Pearl Street Brewery, but then moved the event to Castaways and in the process rescinded registration from some people who planned to attend the event. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders is heading to western Wisconsin later this week to visit Republican districts in support of Democratic politicians and liberal candidates on the spring nonpartisan ballot. Sanders will appear at Altoona High School on Saturday. According to a statement, Sanders' office said that he's holding the events to push back against the current presidential administration and to put pressure on congressmen like Derek Van Orden to vote against cuts to public services like Social Security. Van Orden criticized the planned appearance. A Friday statement from Madison-based UW Health said if an agreement isn't reached by April 15th, it will no longer be in-network for patients with Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield Wisconsin Insurance. UW Health said Anthem has agreed to much higher reimbursement rates for other Wisconsin health systems while proposing an increase to UW Health's rate that was below the rate of inflation and also demanding the ability to unilaterally change payment terms without a renegotiation. An Anthem spokesperson said the insurer will continue to negotiate, but UW Health's requested rate increase is excessive. Omega Line Group says locations of some in-person early voting locations in Wisconsin are unfair. That assertion is made in letters from the America First Policy Institute to the Wisconsin Elections Commission and local elections officials in Madison, La Crosse, and Oshkosh, all of which have significant numbers of college students who tend to vote Democrat. AFPI claims sites located near college campuses violate state law and amount to something called early voting poll location gerrymandering. The letters urge local officials to remedy the issue by providing early voting locations that don't provide an advantage to either political party. Early voting begins March 18th for the April 1st election, which includes a crucial seat on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Democrats are raising questions about the Wisconsin legislature's GOAT Committee. It stands for Government Accountability and Transparency. The committee has yet to hold any hearings, but co-chair Representative Shea Sortwell is making records request of all 72 counties and the state's 50 largest cities regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion. There's nothing illegal about that, but committee member Representative Mike Baer says Sortwell is acting on his own, without any task before the committee and without the knowledge of other members. Sortwell's office did not respond to a request for comment. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who established the GOAT Committee, said he's the subject of open records request at least weekly and that responding to request is part of what makes Wisconsin government open. Representative Baer said an initial meeting for the GOAT Committee has yet to be scheduled. Wisconsin Republicans are once again trying to pass a law that would ban gender-affirming health care for children. The law would apply to anyone under 18. For trans folks, gender-affirming care can include puberty blockers, hormones, and surgery. The LGBTQ plus caucus says the bill is, quote, deeply harmful, cruel, and dangerous. Advocates say this treatment saves lives, and medical experts at groups like the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, they say blocking this access can increase suicide rates. Republicans in the legislature passed a similar bill in 2023. It was vetoed by Governor Tony Evers. This comes at a time when new presidential administration is working to curb the rights of trans folks. According to the Williams Institute at UCLA, about 6,400 teens in Wisconsin identify as trans. That's under 2% of minors aged 13 to 17 statewide. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have fallen 5.1 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.80 a gallon today, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 7 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and stand 45.4 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.52 a gallon yesterday, while the most expensive was $3.19 a gallon, a difference of 67 cents per gallon. The national average price of gasoline has fallen 3.8 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3.04 a gallon today. The national average is down 4.7 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 29.9 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has decreased 1.9 cents in the last week and stands at $3.63 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said, gasoline prices in the U.S. have edged slightly lower over the past week, even as geopolitical tensions intensify, with the Trump administration promising tariffs that could not only create economic uncertainty, but also impact what some motorists pay at the pump in the weeks ahead. He added, given the volatility surrounding the tariff situation, forecasting fuel prices remains challenging as uncertainty lingers over the timing and scope of these tariffs, which the Trump administration has suggested will soon take effect. This comes on top of ongoing concerns about the Russian invasion of Ukraine and discussions of a potential deal to end the war. While OPEC has signaled its intent to stabilize the market, policy decisions from the White House could introduce further uncertainty, making it difficult to predict where prices will head next. However, nearly every year sees a seasonal spring increase, which could eventually push prices higher ahead of summer. The Lac du Flambeau tribe is backing off a threat to issue trespassing citations to people using contested roads on their reservation. Tribal elders said in January that anyone caught traveling on several disputed roads without authorization would be issued citations. This is after the tribe agreed not to block those roads while litigation over an easement dispute continues. A judge will hear arguments in the dispute today. The Lac du Flambeau tribe says the easement for those roads expired over a decade ago and has been seeking payment for the town of Lac du Flambeau for repairs, upkeep, and continued access. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports the arrest of John Charles Fanta, 60 of rural Viroqua, as the result of an ongoing investigation into illegal drug activities. On Friday morning at approximately 9 o'clock, a search warrant was executed at a residence on Nelson Road, rural Viroqua, in the town of Franklin. Illegal drugs, drug paraphernalia, and a firearm were located. John Fanta was arrested and booked into the detention center on recommended charges of manufacturing and delivering methamphetamine, possession with intent to deliver methamphetamine, possession of drug paraphernalia, maintaining a drug trafficking place, and a felon in possession of a firearm. This case remains under investigation by the Vernon County Sheriff's Office. March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. Colon cancer is one of the top three types of cancer in the world. It is diagnosed in 150,000 people a year, with 1 in 20 diagnosed with colon cancer dying from the disease. This month is a time to shine a light on the importance of early detection and lifestyle choices in the fight against this prevalent disease. Screenings can decrease your chance of dying from the disease by 90%. Trey Folkers is a doctor of gastroenterology at Amplify Health, Gunderson.
Screening tests are divided into two groups. There's cancer detection tests. Those are your stool tests, stool-based tests, such as FIT cards, where you place a small amount of stool on a card and mail it in. It's looking for small amounts of blood in the stool that are usually released from large polyps or the cancers. And that's a FIT-based test that's done every year. There's something called Cologuard, which people have probably seen the commercials for, that examines an entire stool. And it is done every 3 years. It includes the FIT test, but also a DNA evaluation looking for those advanced polyps and cancers. Those tests are very good at diagnosing cancers early stage, which can then be treated usually surgically. In order to prevent those cancers, we do colonoscopy. That's considered a prevention test. And during your colonoscopy, if we find what the precancerous polyps, those are removed. And again, it's believed to reduce your risk of getting colon cancer by about 90%.
While the average age to begin screening for colon cancer is 45, it can be different for everyone.
The rates of colon cancer and many cancers have been increasing in younger individuals. So the most recent recommendations are to start at age 45 if you don't have any family members affected by colon cancer or polyps. So if you do have family members, particularly first-degree relatives affected by colon cancer or polyps, those recommendations may change, so all of that should be discussed with your primary doctor and shared with your family members.
Folker says if you display any signs of colon cancer, you should see a doctor.
Presentation in colon cancer is change in bowel habits. So if you're having more diarrhea, change in the size caliber of your stool, more constipation, and those symptoms aren't getting better over 2-3 weeks, then you need to be talking to your primary doctor. Those symptoms are present in about 75% of individuals who present with colon cancer. Bleeding is present in about 50% of individuals. Any rectal bleeding should also be discussed with your primary doctor. Iron deficiency anemia, so which would show chronic small amounts of blood loss, is present in about 20 to 30% of folks.
According to the American Cancer Society, anyone can develop colon cancer, but certain factors can increase the risk. Folker says it can be caused by genetics, but colon cancer is based a large part on environment.
Diet and exercise plays a large part. You know, diet is the same thing that's bad for your heart is bad for your colon. Diets high in red meat, alcohol increases your risk, smoking increases your risk, and lack of exercise increases your risk. So any Western diet puts you at risk. So our rates of colon cancer in older individuals have been decreasing with the increasing amount of screening that we're doing over the last 30, 40 years, but we're still with the population increasing and the younger folks being more affected. The number of colon cancers diagnosed every year has been remaining stable.
The month of March aims to raise awareness about colorectal cancer, the second leading cause of cancer deaths in the United States. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced the approval of stewardship funding for Friends Grants to 28 nonprofit organizations for improvements at DNR properties across the state. The State Building Commission approved the funding, which includes 32 projects for a total of $430,877 in stewardship fund grants, leveraging $660,847 in matching contributions and $3.4 million in total project costs. The Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund was created in 1989 to preserve important natural communities, protect water quality and fisheries, and expand opportunities for outdoor recreation. Within this program, a portion of stewardship funds from the state's biennial budget is used to support important recreational projects and improvements at state properties. Many construction and property development projects at the DNR's state parks, trails, forest, and other state lands are made possible with the Stewardship Fund program's annual funding. Stewardship funds also support several DNR-administered grant programs, including grants to DNR Friends Groups. Through the Stewardship Friends Grant Program, the DNR partners with friends groups and nonprofit conservation organizations to improve facilities, build new recreation projects, and restore habitat on state properties. Projects approved to move forward in the grant award process include Friends of Devil's Lake State Park for accessible campfire rings and grills, Friends of Governor Nelson State Park for the Hogan House Restoration Phase 1, Friends of Mirror Lake State Park for accessible outdoor cooking grill replacements, and Friends of Wildcat Mountain State Park for Horse Camp Trail Improvements, Phase 1. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets to help build up the blood supply. People of all blood types are encouraged to make and keep their donation appointments so hospitals can continue to ensure critical care for patients. 5 blood drives will be held this week around the area. 2 blood drives will be held Wednesday. The first will be held from 8 to 2 at River Valley High School. The second will be held from 9 to 2 at the Richland Center High School. 2 blood drives will be held Thursday. The first will be from 9:30 to 2:30 at St. Cecilia Parish Center in Wisconsin Dells. The second will be from 1 to 6 at New Life Community Advent Christian Church in Baraboo. And a blood drive will be held Friday from 9 to 2 at Baraboo High School. To book a time to give blood or platelets at any of these blood drives, use the Red Cross Blood Donor app, visit redcrossblood.org, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.